Children, they are the best. And God's Word has much to say about the fact that all of us need to approach the throne of God as a child. I'm told that even Jesus said, unless you become like children, we will never see the kingdom of God. That brings me to the simple fact that just as children need guidance, we all need help and guidance from above. And God has so chosen to use His people, His children, to render aid and to give help to those in need. We're reading through the book of Acts. We're taking every single verse and reading through it in these months that will lead right up through July. I hope you're joining in those readings with us. If you're not, it's very easy. Once again, go to the website, click on Daily Bible Readings, and sign up, and we'll deliver that passage to you with a brief comment each and every morning. Or hard copy Daily Bible Reading Guides in either one of the info centers. Pick up where you are this week. Our readings are very, very inspiring, I think, because all of God's Word inspires us. We find ourselves in the midst of a passage this morning that's in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. It talks about giving help. It talks about the fact that we all need help. And I think that there's much to say about a church like ours in giving help, in doing our part to bring God's Word to those who need it most. It's a story that perhaps many of you have heard. Maybe some of you read it for the first time if you're sharing in those readings. Or maybe this is a story that's completely new to you. It's a story about a man named Philip. He was a believer. And Philip was doing God's work. And he had what many would say is a chance encounter. But it wasn't. It was a divine appointment with a government official from a neighboring country. Ethiopia was the country where this Ethiopian official came from. And the passage talks about this man from Ethiopia who had traveled to Jerusalem looking for God, literally, and how God used Philip in a divine set of circumstances, a divine appointment, to bring that official to salvation. And I think from that story, there are all kinds of applications about how we operate as a church today. So let's read the passage one section at a time, make some comments upon it, and then at the end of our service, like we always do, we'll offer a time of commitment, a time where people can make choices. Hopefully, a lot of spiritual business can take place before we're through with this hour. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 28 simply talks about the fact that people everywhere are searching. It says, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road.' So Philip got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch or official, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah." Now, let's stop here just a moment. A lot of information is given to us right here. You have Philip, who receives this word from God that I want you to head down the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And if you're looking at a map of Israel today, you can see the city of Jerusalem and you can see the area designated as Gaza. They're both in the news quite a bit today. It is a descending journey down to the area of Gaza. But if you go south from Gaza, you will find the area of Ethiopia, where this Ethiopian official had come from. We know this much about him, that he represented Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and you can find her in secular history. And his task was to look after her business affairs. When it says he was in charge of all of her treasure, he was the one who was the trustee, if you will, the caretaker of all of her possessions. So he was a very important person. He was a Gentile, but he was also, as we can tell, looking for God. He was searching. Folks, we're all looking, aren't we? All of us are in a search for whatever it is that's going to fill this void that's in our lives. We all want to find God. The Ethiopian eunuch, the official, didn't have really any idea, but he knew and had heard about a God who was worshipped in Jerusalem. And of all the deities that he had come in contact with throughout his life, for he no doubt lived in an area and in a society where everything that moved, or even the things that didn't move, the things in the atmosphere, were considered to be gods and you worshiped them. He had locked into the Lord God, the one true God. He had made a journey all the way from Ethiopia, all the way up that land, basically retracing some of the steps that Moses and the children of Israel did when they left Egypt, that same part of the world, heading up toward the area of Israel. He made it all the way to Jerusalem. He spent some days there. He visited the temple. As a Gentile, he was allowed to participate in some of the worship settings and worship services that surrounded the temple. And now we find him heading back. But he brought with him from Jerusalem a souvenir, a copy of God's word, a scroll, if you will. And it happened to be from the prophet Isaiah, the scripture says, that he was reading. And this is where the divine appointment between Philip and the official takes place. Philip is directed to head toward Gaza. The Ethiopian official has made it almost to Gaza and is pulled over seemingly at almost like a rest stop. He had his chariot person driver just to pull over to the side of the road because the bouncing of the chariot made it harder for him to read. And he had stumbled upon a passage that was causing him great anxiety. He had many questions. He was looking, seeking, just as people are looking and seeking who come our way each and every day, not just on Sunday, but people you come into contact with. For the church is really all of us moving out into the world each and every day of every week. We have found Jesus, but many others haven't. We all need help. Continue in verse 29. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." And he ran up and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment is taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The official answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Is he talking of himself or of someone else?" Now we know from the narrative that the scroll was opened to what we call the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And we can even pinpoint the verses the official was concerned with. It's verses 7 and 8. If you don't know the prophecy of Isaiah, you know that the 53rd chapter is a prophetic look at God's servant. His name, Jesus, is not mentioned in Isaiah 53. Centuries before he was born, they didn't know his name, but they knew what he would come, what he came to do. And this passage in Isaiah 53, 7 and 8 is a prophecy of what Jesus will do when he is dragged before the authorities, when he is put on trial, and when he is nailed to a cross like a sheep led to the slaughter. This caused the Ethiopian official a lot of stress. He wondered, he had questions. "Who is it that this is happening to?" he asked. You know, everything that he needs is simply a cry for help. It's simply asking someone to step forward and give help. Fill in the blanks, if you will. Lead, guide, teach, care for. You know, in our church, that's what we do. We celebrated our senior adults last Sunday. We celebrate our children this Sunday, from the youngest to the oldest. We take care of those in the life of our church. But I wanted you to meet some of our youngest who are not in this room on Sunday mornings. I asked a class of our youngest to come in and join us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. This is my wife, Marcy, and she is joined by Ann Heffington. And this is their class that meets at 9:30 every Sunday morning.
Right.
And you're coming down the aisle to see us.
They're coming to see Dr. Stephen.
They're coming to see
me. They thought that meant they were going to a doctor's office, so we had to explain.
Okay.
We had to explain that you're a doctor who can't help anybody.
I'm the kind of doctor who can't help anyone. That's right. Yeah.
Everybody come up and let's sit. Can y'all sit on a sit on a step? Everybody sit.
Good morning.
Thank you so much.
You got everyone tied together nicely.
Yes, it's great.
Okay, all
right. We should practice this at home.
So, if you don't remember, we did. What do y'all do every Sunday while we're in here?
We sing and we dance. We Baptists can dance.
Yes, they have.
And we have a Bible story, which happens to be about people who help people today.
Okay.
And we have a really good time.
I noticed that Ann is sitting down. Is she, you need to sit down most of the time during the hour? Okay, all right, all right.
Well, for sure, by the next hour, we are definitely sitting. So.
Okay, all right. So you're telling story. You're helping people.
We're helping.
And you're helping people while we're in here.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're in here, you're in your class, and you're in there every week. And if I'm a parent and I'm bringing my child to see you, they get to see the same faces every Sunday when they arrive at church.
Right.
Do you need help?
We do need help. Ann and I have committed to do this every Sunday in this hour. And some other people have. But there are lots of holes. Lots of classes that the parents bring their kids to. And it's a different face every single week. And if we could have more helpers that would volunteer to be the same face, I just think, you know, the separation anxiety and everything is gone with our class now because they know us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we need help both hours desperately.
All right.
And let me just say this.
Yes, yes, we'll say it.
When we volunteered, I've always taught 12th grade or 20s or 30 years olds, which are my love. And I realized that there was this need, so I decided, okay, who's somebody that I would like to hang out with on Sunday morning? So I asked Ann. She said yes. But Susan and Sherry gave us this huge binder of, we have so many ideas, we can't even use all the ideas they gave us. So the anxiety of, oh gosh, I wouldn't know what to do with those kids for an hour. That's gone. And we just text each other during the week and say, you bring the doctor's hats and I'll bring the whatever, and it's a joy to do that. And especially we now can get to know the parents, and we can contact those that aren't there, and we can do what adults do, and we can do outreach and all of that as well.
So what you're asking is that if some folks in this room would be willing to give up a period of time, they wouldn't have to suffer through the sermon, I guess you could say.
No, now really what this group needs to do is give up a block of time next hour.
Okay.
And
that's
then,
right.
Then
that's
the next hour people should give up a block of time this hour.
This hour.
And that
way
because I think everybody should worship. I think if you miss worship, you miss the heartbeat of the church.
Okay.
So what you would be giving up would be you sitting in a Bible study class.
Okay. To commit to doing it every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
so that you can get the blessing of these children seeing the same face and helping.
Right.
Helping
and I think my 30-year-olds that I was teaching, even though I grieved leaving them, I think they look at it that they sent me as a missionary to the 3-year-olds.
Okay.
And you know what? That class is growing. They didn't even need me. They're doing great.
All right. Well, boys and girls, are you having fun today? Okay. Yeah.
They are being awesome.
They are. Being awesome. They're being very, very
nice. Can y'all say hi to Dr. Stephen?
Hello. Hello. Do y'all love Marcy and Miss Ann? Okay, I know you do. It looks like the boys are outnumbered by the girls. But that's okay. All right, well, thanks for coming to see us.
Okay, well, we got to go have our snack. Do y'all get a snack in here? There's a reason to do it right there. Okay, everybody choose a color.
Bye-bye, boys and girls. Thanks for coming.
Say bye, Dr. Stephen. Us.
We can give them a little hand, can't
y'all
we?
Wanna,
all right,
here,
just a little hand? Okay.
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 Hold all the right. color.
Yep. Watch it. Whoop, whoop. There we go. There we go. Here, yellow. There we go.
Oh, no.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, come here, Lisa.
Thank you. All kidding aside, we all need help. And there are spots and places where people volunteer on a rotation basis. We appreciate you very much for doing that. But as Marcy has and Ann have been spending these months every Sunday in that class, they're seeing the change that comes over those little ones when they have the opportunity to be the same familiar face each and every week. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anyone. I'm just simply saying we all need help. And God may be asking you and urging you, just as he asked a man named Philip years ago, to drop everything he was doing, though he was doing good things where he was, and to head down a particular road and there to have a divine appointment with a gentleman from another country who was searching and who was seeking help. And Philip was there as God's representative to give it. Well, what did he do? What did Philip do when, you know, here's the perfect opportunity. The man is sitting on the side of the road. Philip is invited to step up into his chariot, to take a seat there, and to explain to him the verses from Isaiah 53, verses 7 to 8 that he had just read. And Philip was ready. And it says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, Isaiah 53, 7 and 8, he preached Jesus to him. And they went along the road, and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Every one of us need help. Someone helped us through different stages of our lives to be where we are today. And so we're asking for God to open up the hearts of people, just like he opened up the heart and the mind of Philip centuries ago, to send him to a divine appointment with an official from another country, where he was able, when given the opportunity, to tell the story of Jesus. Now, it doesn't say everything that Philip said here. It just says he preached Jesus to him. But we can infer some things here. We can assume some things. Immediately, the official said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So Philip had to tell him the story of God's love, of our sin, and God coming in the flesh, Emmanuel, Jesus, our Savior. Baptism also seemed to be something that was upon the heart of this official. I'm sure that Philip impressed upon him the fact that if you know the Lord Jesus, then there is a step of obedience, not a step of salvation, but a step of obedience, and we call it believer's baptism. That's why this man, when he saw water, was very anxious to step into that water and to receive baptism, to experience believer's baptism on his own. See, what we have to keep in mind is baptism was not a new thing that happened when Jesus came along. Religious groups had been immersing one another, immersing new converts, long before Jesus was ever baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. It had a power. It was a symbol in some religions. It was a necessary step of initiation in others. And to those who followed Jesus, there was no power in that water. There was no magic in that water. There was no sin washed away in that. But it was making a stand. It was stepping forward and saying, I believe and I give my life to Jesus. That's why we encourage people to do the same. To understand and to know that decisions of salvation, the decision, the choice to let Jesus come into your heart, to ask Him to come in and forgive your sin, is a personal choice. It's not something that parents can do for their children, as well-meaning as it is some acts of sprinkling and a baptism of infants, as much as that's well-intended. We have nothing to do with that if it's done to us. But when the opportunity comes for you and me to say, I need a Savior, I ask Jesus to come into my life, and now I want, of my own choosing, to make that choice, to make that commitment, to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, knowing that in our culture, it may not be seen the same way, but in the first century and in many spots on the world today, you can say you love Jesus all you want, but if you step up and you're baptized, that's a sign to a world, sometimes it may be hostile, that you mean business. Now, it seems that this passage is giving us lots to do today. If we all need help, there's an opportunity. We just heard the plea and heard the cry of two of our teachers in working with our youngest. I hope that some will make a commitment to help. But there's something else you can do. I've got a card here in my hand, and it says, I want to follow Jesus' command to be baptized. Now, we give this invitation every Sunday. But there are people who need to follow through with this step, and you've just hesitated for one reason or another. Maybe it's because you're afraid of water. I mean, get over it. There's nothing wrong with it. We're not going to drop you. We're not going to hold you under and then decide to bring you up. So don't let that be a fear factor. Some have said or thought that, well, everyone thinks I've already done this and it's going to look strange. It's not going to look strange at all. If you would be willing, if you have come forward in front of this church at some time in the past and said, this is what I want to do, but yet you just haven't done it yet. Or maybe it's never really dawned upon you that having made that choice to follow Jesus on your own, this step of obedience is the Lord's command, not the preacher's, not the church's. Then during our invitation here in just a few minutes, Missy Ollie, one of our ministers on staff, is going to be standing right down front. And she's going to have these cards in her hand. All you got to do is just come up and take one and fill it out. It just says you're willing to do this. We want to baptize some people next Sunday on Mother's Day. And maybe you would be one of those who's willing. It gives you an opportunity to just give us some contact info and which service you want to be baptized in. And then we'll get in touch with you and make sure that everything's arranged. It's something positive. It's a step of obedience. And if there's something that's holding you back, consider stepping forward, making that commitment, following through with that sign of obedience, making that statement to a world that you now belong to Him. It's amazing to me that that's what this Ethiopian official wanted to do, and he wasted no time. Because Philip had told him the story, had given him the information, and the official, knowing that Christ had saved him, now was more than willing to say, I will follow the Lord's command to be baptized, and then I want to the best of my ability to do what you have done for me. I want to help. I want to serve. So I guess the question really is, are you going to stay where you are? You know, some people in the life of each and every church I've ever been a member of step into a routine. There's nothing wrong with routines. But if that routine becomes something that keeps you from hearing the voice of God, if staying in that routine or coming up with whatever the reason, the rationale is, I don't want to use the word excuse, though some people would say it's many times just an excuse. I've already served my time, you might say. Or I'm going to let others step in and do it now because it's their turn. Or to mask an attitude of selfishness where I'm going to come to church and I'm just going to do the things that I want to do because I need the help and I need the encouragement. All those things may be true. But how much encouragement do you really receive when you step out? when you take a risk, when you are willing to help. You know, Philip could have heard the Spirit of God speaking to him and used any number of reasons to say, well, no, I'm going to wait. No, I'm not going to do that right now. There's lots to do right here in Jerusalem where I am. And I've already got some things set out and already have some things planned. And I'm already comfortable. I'm already in this routine. But when the Holy Spirit, once again, that's what this book of Acts is about. When God's Spirit poured out upon His people, prompted these people, you notice that there's no hesitancy on their part. I think that's why this book is so alive and why this book has so much to offer each one of us today. That when Philip heard the prompting and felt the prompting of the Spirit of God upon his life, he said, just show me the road and show me the direction right now, Lord. I'm willing to go. A prompting of the Holy Spirit of God leading to a divine appointment of one man with another from a different culture. The opening of God's Word. The question that begged an answer, the telling of the story of the Christ, and the willingness of someone who had just been helped and someone who had just been brought into the kingdom of God, knowing that he didn't have to be a Jew by birth or by blood, but whatever. He didn't have to buy any citizenship in order to receive this salvation. He just simply had to open his heart, and then watching him follow through. It's amazing what God can do when we're willing to move when He prompts us. We all need help. Father, I thank You for this day, and I thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house today, to say yes to You, to encourage our children and to have them encourage us, to know that what we do here is vitally important. And so, Father, I ask that in these closing moments of invitation of our commitment to You today, that You would speak to us, that You would lead us, that You would help us to make the decisions that reflect our love for You and our willingness to obey You. Father, I pray that our attention is drawn to You today, especially in these closing moments, for it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray all of our prayers. Amen. We close our service this morning with a time of commitment, a time of invitation. I told you that. That's how we end each and every service when we gather here. When we stand and sing in a moment, it could well be that there are people in this very room and there are decisions that you need to make, spiritual decisions, life-changing decisions. Like what? Well, you could be much like this Ethiopian official. You're searching, you're looking. And hopefully now you've received the information that there is an answer to the searching. There is a direction that you're going to find. And it's only going to be found when you come to Jesus, when you receive Him into your life. So there could be some first-time commitments to Jesus made in this very service today. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, but you've never told the church, you've never told a congregation, publicly professed your name to the world. Is that important? Absolutely. Maybe you're here today and you see that water up there, and it reminds you of a step of obedience you've yet to take. Maybe you would come down, and once again, all you got to do is just come down and find Missy. She's going to be standing right over here or here. I think it's right over here. But she's got those cards in her hand. All you got to do is just fill it out, and we'll help you. We'll lead you. We'll give you the information that you need to help you follow through with that sign and act of obedience that this Ethiopian official was ready to do. Nothing could stop him. And nothing should stop us either. Maybe God would lead you to join our church today. Maybe this is where He wants you to plug in and belong. There are a lot of churches where you could join. And I commend them all if they preach the Bible and uphold the name of Jesus. We're not the only one around here, of course. But I'll tell you this, if you choose to join this church, you'll be challenged to do just what Philip did, to be listening attentively to the Spirit of God and to do whatever it is God leads you to do. We'll help you. We're on this journey together because we all need help. If you need just prayer, if you need someone to pray with you, there'll be folks down here and just say, I just need someone to pray with me. They're here. to pray with you. That's our invitation. We stand together. We sing. Once you step out, make that commitment right now.